taking a look at everything investors need to know about Netflix before the company reports its fourth quarter 2019 financial results after the closing bell on Tuesday, January 21st. So tomorrow at this point, the streaming giant is the first of the big tech firms to report its quarterly earnings results this fourth quarter. And there will be a ton of pressure for Netflix to impress Wall Street with the stock down about 1% over the last year, which stands in stark contrast compared to the S&P 500 and some of its fellow tech giant peers. But before we get into everything, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcasts@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So quickly, before we jump into Netflix, I want to do an overview of what we know so far from the Q4 earnings season to give people some perspective of what to expect from Netflix. And then we're going to look ahead just a little bit of what to expect in 2020. So as of Friday afternoon, we had results from 44 S&P 500 members for what we consider at Zacks their fourth quarter earnings. And total earnings were down about 4% from the year ago period for these companies on about 4% higher revenues. And then if we look ahead to all of fiscal 2019, earnings are expected to fall 1.8% on 2.7% higher sales. And this is coming against a really hard to compare 2018, which was boosted by the tax cuts. So in 2018, earnings grew by over 23%. So that's why 2019 was always going to be a very hard period for these corporate earnings. And then if we look ahead to 2020, earnings are then expected to rebound and climb 8% in fiscal 2020. On about 4% higher sales. So that's the brief earnings picture. And now we're going to go ahead and take a look at what's going on with Netflix. So Netflix is the worst performing of the FANG stocks, which is Facebook, Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. Actually, I already mentioned Apple or Alphabet. So you know the FANG stocks. Sorry, I butchered that right there. So they're the worst performing one over the last 12 months, and it's hardly even close. Netflix stock is down 1%, while the S&P 500 is up 25%. Apple's up 100%. Facebook is up 50%. Google's up 43%. Amazon is up 10%. And so that makes Netflix 1% decline. Just look all the much worse compared to its FANG peers. But if we take a step back, Netflix was one of the best performing stocks of the 2010s. It was up over 4,500% in the last decade, which crushes the next closest of those FANG stocks. Amazon was up 1,400%. So obviously, the question now is going to become, was 2019 just a blip on the radar for Netflix with just an underwhelming performance, or is it a sign of much worse things to come for the stock that had been one of the best performing stocks over the last decade? So we should note that Netflix stock is up 24% in the last 3 months. It also has about 12% more room to run before it runs into its 52-week highs, and even slightly more before it runs into its July 2018 highs. So the stock has regained some momentum over the last 3 months, which could be a sign of good things to come for the company, but we'll dive into a little bit more of that going forward. So over the last 6 months, the Wall Street and investors have started to become a little more nervous about Netflix's subscriber growth. And this also comes as Disney and Apple and some other giants jump into the streaming TV market. So if we go over the last two quarters, we note that Netflix fell short of its own subscriber growth estimates. So this is in Q2 and Q3. And there was a huge miss in the second quarter. The company had projected that it would pull in 5 million new subscribers, and then it ended up adding only 2.7 million new subscribers. So fell over 2 million short of its own subscriber estimates, which it's fallen short of its own estimates by significant amounts before. It fell short by roughly a million three times over the last 3 years. But then that next quarter, after a big miss, it would come out with a huge beat that next quarter. So after they missed in Q2 of 2018, they then blew out their own results or own estimates by over a million that next period. And this is what most people were expecting in Q3, but instead they missed again. It was a much smaller miss, but they're coming off back-to-back subscriber estimate misses, which is obviously not a good thing and something that really worried Wall Street. So we should note, though, despite all of the recent setbacks and some of the growth worries, the company is still by far the largest streaming TV player in the world. It expects to add 7.6 million new users during the fourth quarter, with 7 million of those users expected to come from its international segment. And this is another thing that investors need to pay close attention to, is their growth really slows in the United States. So anything outside of the US is where most of their growth is going to come going forward. So they're expected to close 2019 with approximately 166 million subscribers around the world. And now this sounds like really as good of a place as any to talk about their competition, which is what Wall Street and investors are starting to focus more and more on. Amazon Prime, they have approximately over 100 million users, though. Jeff Bezos and Amazon don't break that out as much. And Hulu, which is now actually controlled by Disney, last reported around 30 million users. So obviously Netflix is far bigger than those two players. But then if we jump into Disney Plus and Apple, those are the companies that down the road people are looking at to maybe compete a little bit more closely with Netflix as well and maybe steal some users. So we should just give a brief overview of what Disney Plus is, because this is something that analysts will definitely ask executives at Netflix about tomorrow on their earnings call. So Disney Plus launched in mid-November of this or of 2019 at $7 a month, $6.99 per month, and users have access to all of its namesake Disney brand content, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, and more. And this was bolstered by its massive Fox deal. And then the company also offers a bundled package, which is Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and ad-supported Hulu for $12.99 per month. And that's a notable figure, because that $12.99 per month is the same cost as Netflix's most popular standard plan. So Disney Plus Disney's offering their Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu for the same price as what Netflix is offering their standard plan for. And then just some analyst notes and some projections from various outlets for what they expect Disney Plus to be. So Barclays analyst said recently that investors have already valued Disney's streaming business alone at roughly $100 billion. And then looking ahead, Disney itself is targeting between 60 million to 90 million subscribers globally by the end of its fiscal 2024. So over the next 4 years, they're expecting to hit up to 90 million subscribers on that Disney Plus. And then along with Disney Plus, Apple launched its Apple TV Plus service, so two services that are called basically the same exact thing, in November as well. And they launched that for $5 a month, $4.99 per month. And it's got a very small content library at the moment, and then they plan to slowly grow it over the next foreseeable future, as long as this is a part of their business model. And they do have some big A-list Hollywood celebrities, both in front of and behind the camera, in some of their early offerings, and they've gotten some buzz at the awards shows as well. But more people are focused on Disney Plus for now, but both of these companies have deep pockets and a lot of money to spend, and their plan is to continue to spend heavily on original content. And then we should also note that Comcast, through its NBC Universal leg, is launching Peacock this spring, which is going to be another offering in this streaming market, and then there's going to be a beefed up HBO Max, and then there's some smaller players as well, but those are the big ones. And with all of this competition, this is where investors in Wall Street are starting to wonder what Netflix is going to be able to do when all of these companies, which is what all of them have done so far, Disney, Comcast, are pulling anything they had on Netflix off of it slowly, especially Disney. Comcast is taking back some of its big programming. So over the next couple, so recently Netflix will see three of its most watched shows, which are The Office, Friends, and Parks and Recreation, all leave its U.S. library over the next few years for what are soon to be rival platforms. And we should note, though, that, and this is something I think sometimes gets a little forgotten in when they talk about how much original content Netflix has had, even before Disney started pulling some of their content, is that roughly 70% of their total viewing minutes, and this is based on Nielsen data, comes from what is called library programming. So something that Netflix is not original to Netflix in any way. So we'll see if down the line, if the shows that people just love to kind of sit around and binge watch, these 20-minute comedies, Office, Friends, Parks and Rec, things like that, once those all leave, we'll see how that's affects Netflix in any way. And this is a reason why Netflix decided to pay a bunch of money to get Seinfeld on their platform in the U.S. soon enough. So they see that library content as being pretty vital as well. And now we're going to go ahead and take a look at some other Netflix fundamentals, because the competition is really going to, we're going to know more over the next year or so as more people, or maybe less people than expected, sign up for Disney Plus and Apple Plus and see what this Peacock service is all about, and then the new beefed up HBO Max. So unlike the streaming music market, where companies like Amazon and Apple and Spotify are all pretty much offering the same exact content library, the streaming TV companies have to have their own compelling TV shows and movies to stand out in what's going to now be a really crowded market. And Netflix has, of course, then spent billions of dollars on its own original content, and it's taken on debt to do that. And obviously, some of its content has been a hit. They have some movies that are nominated for Oscar Best Pictures this year, and they've gotten some buzz at the Emmys as well. And this is just, I'm just going to throw out my opinion. I feel like in general, for how much original content Netflix has out there, a lot of it is pretty underwhelming. So it'll be worth watching that if The Irishman, which they spent a bunch of money on and it got an Oscar nomination, is that actually driving people to subscribe to Netflix? That's really not out there yet. We don't know if these big kind of award buzzy movies like Marriage Story are actually causing people to sign up for Netflix or stay on the platform. So we should note that the company is expected to have a negative cash flow of $3.5 billion this year. In that last quarter, company executives said, quote, their near-term plan is to continue to use the high-yield market in the interim to finance our investment needs. So they're taking on high-yield debt to finance their original content. And we should note that Netflix currently holds F grades for both value and momentum and a D for growth in our style score system. Netflix stock is currently trading at about 60 times forward earnings, which marks a solid discount compared to its own two-year median. So that's a good thing to note, but that's also as the stock has done pretty much nothing over the last year. And it's still far above its industry's average, but does sit below Amazon. And then in terms of forward sales, it's trading at about 6 times forward 12-month sales at the moment, which is also below its own two-year median and well above Amazon. So its valuation is not the biggest concern for most people at the moment. It's their debt load, and can they prove that their content is going to be able to keep users as all of these other platforms really come into their own over the next year or so. So now we're going to go ahead and look ahead at what to expect from their Q4 results and then what to expect in 2020 as well. So our Zacks estimates call for Netflix's Q4 revenue to climb 30% to $5.44 billion, and this would help its full year 2019 revenues climb roughly 28% to just over $20 billion. So we're calling for Q4 to climb 30% and fiscal 2019 to climb about 28% to just over $20 billion. And then if we look ahead to what to expect in fiscal 2020, so next year, this current year, basically at this point, we're expecting their sales to climb roughly 22% above our current year estimate to about $24.5 billion. And to put everything into perspective here, both of these growth estimates would be smaller than what they've done in the last 3 years. So in 2018, sales were up 35%. In 2017, sales were up 33% roughly. And in 2016, sales were up 30%. So both of these 2019 and 2020 estimates would be below that. But if we look back a little bit farther, this 28% and 22% growth figures we're calling for are not anything they haven't done before. So during this decade-long run, the company has had growth that comes in at a similar pace to that 22 and 28%. It's just that the last 3 years, the company had had growth of about 30% or more. So now if we go ahead and look at what to expect on the earnings front, we're calling for their adjusted Q4 earnings to soar over 70% to 51 cents per share. And this estimate is up about 1 cent in the last week. So that's a positive sign, but we should note that their overall, our consensus estimate for earnings is down from where the estimate was before it released its Q3 results. So it's trended in the wrong direction. And then overall, its adjusted fiscal 2019 earnings are expected to climb about 25%. And then in 2020, we're calling for another 63% growth on the bottom line on an adjusted basis. So some solid bottom line growth as they continue to grow on the top line, but people are more looking forward to what is going on that subscriber growth, their debt, and what they have to say about this competition. And then in terms of when they report, we should note that over the last 8 periods, the company has beat our bottom line estimates, and the stock does trade relatively heavily around earnings. So Netflix shares have moved by an average of around 7% after their last 8 earnings releases, and this is either up or down. So Netflix stock popped about 3% in the days following its Q3 report. And then in Q2, when they had that big subscriber miss, the stock fell about 11% during that stretch after they released their earnings. So that's what they've done the last several periods. So the stock certainly is one that seems to trade pretty heavily around earnings. Netflix is currently a Zacks rank number 3 hold, and this is based on some of its earnings estimate revision activity. And obviously, some people might want to take a chance on Netflix stock since it's gone up about over 20% in the last 3 months, but it's still moved practically sideways over the last year. So it would be kind of a bet that there's no way this stock that was such a massive growth driver for the tech space in the 2010s, up over 4,000%, there's no way that it just all of a sudden falls off the map just because Disney and Apple released competing services when they're still by far the biggest streaming growth or the biggest streaming company out there. But at this point, I would really say it's probably best to stay away from Netflix stock at the moment. Certainly, playing a stock just around earnings is obviously always more of a crapshoot than anything, because you never know how Wall Street is going to react even to a big beat or strong guidance. So definitely pay attention to anything they have to say about Disney Plus on the earnings call tomorrow. any other competition, and then where they're going to be in terms of subscriber growth and what they're going to do with their own original content. Are they going to continue to take on all of this debt? It's going to be a really fun report from Netflix tomorrow. In the next year, could be really a make or break year for the company that was the dominant stock of the 2010s. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.